Ramsey TV.
Finally, folks, it looks like today I'm going to get to the show called How Paul Controls His Chicken. I know you've all been waiting desperately for that. It's here. It's going to happen today. And after that, I am going to go back to Romans 6, where I started this entire extravaganza. Yes, this whole extravaganza of how to control the flesh. We must do it indirectly or it won't work. Started in Romans 6, and we've been all over the scripture. But I'm going to finish with Romans 6. And then I haven't forgotten that a long time ago, I was doing Romans 9, 10, and 11, and I was somewhere in Romans chapter 10. I'll have to figure that out for myself. Welcome, this is Martin Zender. I am the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. It was a hard-earned title, but I got it. I got my plaque in my room. I don't like to show it too much, you know. Don't like to, you know, overly brag about these things. But as P.T. Barnum said, it ain't bragging if you can do it. That was Babe Ruth? Oh, okay. I thought it was P.T. Barnum. Anyway, before I get into Paul's Chicken, I am going to link you today, in today's show, underneath here to a video sent to me by my friend and our fellow believer, Morgan Weaver, in New Philadelphia, Ohio. And he linked a video to me, that is in 10 minutes. Wow. This video explains what's going on with the CV19er. We have to talk in code because the wonderful free speech killers at your friendly platform here will censor it. And in fact, I sent this video to 6 people, and between the time I sent it and probably 2 hours later, it was taken off. They got it. They grabbed it and took it off this platform. I don't even want to say the name of the platform that we're operating on. However, this video was relocated. Someone found it on BitChute. So I'm linking it to you there. It had 800,000 views on this platform. And it was uploaded on June 24th. Took them a while to find it. Took the deep state a while to find it. Now, I'm not even a conspiracy theorist. That's the funny thing. That's not really funny, but I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But this is getting so obvious. It's not a conspiracy. Again, as I said, the CV19er is no longer about public health, if it ever was. All right, now, 1 Corinthians 9. When I start this, I hope you're going to know exactly where Paul is going. Let's start in verse 24. Paul says, "Are you not aware that those racing in a stadium are indeed all racing, yet one is obtaining the prize? Thus be racing, that you may be grasping it." Paul cannot be talking about general salvation. He cannot be. For one thing, salvation, aeonian life, being a member of the body of Christ, is not a prize. It's not something you win in a stadium. It's not something that is said to be grasped. It's not something you race for. It's not something that Paul, we're going to see here in a couple of verses, belabors his body concerning. No, but this is something more. And he uses the word that you may be grasping it. He uses similar language in Philippians when he talks about those who are mature may be running a race to grasp something, to grasp a prize, to grasp something higher even than membership in the body of Christ. And this is, as I said before, the possession of an allotment, a special place among the celestials, a place of ruling and reigning with Christ. This is above and beyond salvation. Not everybody wants it. Some people don't care if they get it or not. They just want to sweep floors in the celestials. I've heard that. They want to clean toilets. They want to be the lowest of the low. They don't want any responsibilities. It's almost like they want an aeonian hammock and to be handed drinks with red umbrellas in it, depicting the middle voice of the Greek verb. If that's you, then it's fine. God didn't put that in you. But if you're like me and you want more, it's just in me. I don't know why. It's like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going all the way. I'm a competitor. God made me that way. I don't like to lose. Even when my kids were little and I took them to the amusement park known as Cedar Point, I never let them win. Even when they're 6 years old and they're doing that little squirt gun game where you go, you squirt the gun into the clown's mouth and a balloon goes up. And the first one to get the balloon to pop wins. Yeah, I never let them win. I'm like, and my balloon pops. I'm like, yes, the kid's over there. My sister's there. What have you done to him? I said, I'm making him competitive. Making him competitive. I did give him my prize. I got a little stuffed snake. I did give it to my son. That was my son, Paul. Yeah. They still remind me of that. You crushed your son in that game. I'm competitive. This is what I want. So, Paul goes on in verse 25. Now, every contender is controlling himself in all things. This is why I'm bringing this up, because we're talking about control. They indeed, then, that they may be obtaining a corruptible wreath. He's talking about athletes here. Paul probably saw the Isthmian Games. It was a famous games that way predated the Olympics. I think it predated the Olympics. I might be wrong about that, but it was the Isthmian Games. It's hard to pronounce. I'm doing my best. It was in Corinth. I forget how often these games were played, but Paul probably attended them. Paul uses many sports analogies. As we see here, he's going to use a boxing analogy. He uses racing analogies. He talks about stripping for the contest, putting aside all impediments. And of course, we know the Greeks used to compete naked. Good for the Greeks. And so Paul loves sports. I really do think so. And so here he's going to use a sporting analogy in how he controls his body. And it's boxing. Watch this. Yeah, boxing goes way back. It wasn't invented by Muhammad Ali or George Foreman or Leon Spinks. Not even the Raging Bull. Who was the Raging Bull? Oh, no, now I got myself. Rocky Marciano? Was he the Raging Bull? I'll look it up. Watch the movie Cinderella Man. That is a great movie about boxing. It's about a boxer I can't think of now who won the heavyweight title against all odds. Who's in that movie? Russell Crowe and Renee Zellweger. Watch that movie. Cinderella Man. It's great. Paul Giamatti's in it. Love that guy. Anyway, they are obtaining a corruptible wreath. They're doing all these things. The Olympians, professional sports people, they go to a lot of trouble for a corruptible wreath. Paul says, why waste your time? I'm all for that. I feel so bad for these Olympic athletes, especially like the gymnasts. All they do, they train their whole lives. They dedicate their lives. Their parents get them up at 4:30 in the morning when they're 8 years old. They go to the gym. They get on that pommel horse. They get on the uneven bars. They get to the Olympics, and they make one slip, and they're out of the medal. That's just horrible, horrible. Why dedicate yourself to something that's going to be ruined with one slip? We're competing for an incorruptible prize. Gold, silver, and bronze, as great as they are, they're corruptible. We are looking for incorruptibility. Now then, Paul says, thus am I racing, not as dubious. Thus am I boxing. Look at this, all these sporting analogies, not as punching the air. But here's the thing, verse 27, I'm in 1 Corinthians 9. But I am belaboring my body and leading it into slavery, lest somehow, when heralding to others, I myself may become disqualified. Paul's living in the relative here, as we're supposed to do. Now, even this allotment is predetermined by God, but it's presented as something that we do. God knows that we like to compete. God knows that some of us like to see what we can do. We like to grunt and groan and get to where we earn an incorruptible wreath. Salvation doesn't give you that. Salvation is free. Salvation is your, designated beforehand. Well, you're also designated beforehand for this also, but this is presented as something you struggle for because God knows we like to struggle. He's robbed us of struggle in the evangel itself and being in the body of Christ because it's a gift graciously granted to you. Even the faith is graciously granted to you. If Christians knew this, see, it's in humanity to want to struggle. And if Christians knew this, then they wouldn't present the gospel itself as a struggle. They wouldn't present salvation itself as a struggle, but they do. But they do. So Paul is presenting this as a struggle, and he says, but he's belaboring his body. What kind of struggle is it? Is it a physical struggle? Well, look what Paul says here. Paul says, thus am I boxing, not as punching the air. So he is exerting himself, but he's not the kind of boxer. He's watched many, he might have been an amateur boxer, Paul might have been. And so when a boxer punches air, that's usually not a good thing. If you watch the movie Rocky, any of the Rockies, Rocky punches a lot of air. His opponents don't. His opponents hit Rocky in the face every time, especially in Rocky 1, Apollo Creed. How Rocky doesn't even defend himself. He doesn't even know the basics of defense. Put your freaking gloves up by your face, Sylvester. But no, he doesn't. The Italian Stallion gets hit repeatedly, and his swings miss. Now, Paul knows that in a boxing match, you don't want to swing dubiously. You don't want to punch the air. You don't even want to punch inconsequential areas of your opponent's body. You can punch him in the gut, sure. You can punch him in the nose, I suppose so. You can give him a glancing blow across the cheek. Yeah, that would be kind of fun. But if you want to end a fight, if you want to disable your opponent in the ring as quickly as possible, what do you go for? What do you swing for? You swing for the eye, right? Hey, cut me, Mick. Cut me, Mick. Cut me, Mick. They're always in that corner getting cut. Their eyes are closed shut. That'll end the fight. That'll end the fight right there. Now, let me show you something about this word belabor. Because when you read this, while Paul's belaboring his body, let me continue there, leading it into slavery. Okay, so, Martin, you've been saying that we're just supposed to look to Christ, keep our eyes single. Now, we have Paul here belaboring his body, leading it into slavery, acting like some kind of athlete, some kind of triathlete, decathlete. And this doesn't go along with what you're saying, especially belaboring. He's belaboring his body. Sounds like he's just beating himself up black and blue, making sure that he's disciplined enough, a strong enough ascetic to earn this incorruptible wreath. Well, let's look at that word belaboring, a very fascinating word. It's the word hupopiazo in the Greek, hupopiazo. If that sounds like a two-part Greek word to you, it is. Let's look it up in the Concordant Dictionary. In the back of the Concordant version, we have a handy-dandy dictionary. It's also a concordance. It gives you all the words, every single word, where they are, how they were translated in the King James Version. You don't have a concordant version yet? What are you reading from? The NASB, the King James, the NIV, the New Inconsistent Version, the New Incoherent Version. Go to concordant.org and get yourself a concordant literal New Testament. Make sure you get in the hardcover with the concordance and the dictionary in the back. The word belabor, hupopiazo, two-part Greek word. The prefix hupo means under, and piazzo, wait for it, means view eyes. View eyes. V-I-E-W-I-Z-E. It's a verb to view. In this word, it's a verb. But listen to what the definition is. I'm not making this up. Page 28 of the Concordant Dictionary. Belabor. To blacken by a blow that part of the face which is under the eye. To blacken with a blow that part of the face that is under the eye. That's what the word hupopiazo means. To strike under the eye. To go for the gold. Go for the gold. Get the guy in the eye. Don't be punching his stomach all day. Don't be rope-a-doping. Just get to the eye. Swing to the eye. He's going to go to his corner, Mick, cut me, Mick, cut me, Mick. And it's going to be game over, match over, fight over. What does that remind you of? I belabor my body. I wish this had come out in the Greek with another word, belabor. What is with belabor? Why don't you just translate it, I strike my myself under the eye. I hit myself in the eye because that would open up a vista. I'm opening up the vista for you now that's inherent in the word. I don't know why that vista wasn't opened up in the context itself. But Paul is saying, I'm not punching the air. I'm not landing inconsequential blows anywhere, but I'm going for the eye. Was it Matthew 5:22? Yes. If your eye is single, I've been telling you, the entire body will be full of light. The entire body will be luminous, as the Concordant version says. Isn't this beautiful? It's a beautiful word. So by focusing his eye, by concentrating his eye, he's following his own teaching, and his whole body then falls into line. Speaking of falling bodies, yeah, if a fighter lands a good blow right there, his opponent's going to fall down. His entire body's going to follow his eye, right? If his eye is ruined, he can't see, boom, he's going to go down, and the fight is over. Ding, 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 ding. So, this actually confirms. Now, Paul is still considering this leading his body into slavery, but he's doing it indirectly. I don't know if anybody's ever heard me use this analogy. If you haven't, here it comes. When a farmer wants to plow a straight furrow, what does he do? You see, I lived in the country for 25 years, raising my family, believe it or not. Before I got a job with the post office in 1984, I was working on my wife's grandfather's farm. Do you believe this? I was actually driving a tractor, pulling a cart, what do you call those things? Wagons behind me. And Marsha's grandfather was on the combine throwing the corn in to my little cart, my little trailer. I would pull in, dump it. Can you believe that? I, Martin Zender, Mr. Suburbia, Mr. Bottom of the Peninsula, Mr. South Florida. Yeah, I was farming. But a farmer, just when he wants to plant a straight furrow, or when she, excuse me, wants to plant a straight furrow, doesn't look at the furrow, doesn't look down. If you look down, then you're going to be going off. When you look behind you, you're plowing this serpentine course. It's not good. But you would think that, well, in order to plow a straight furrow, I got to look at the furrow. No. What does the farmer do? Everybody knows this. He looks at a distant point on the horizon, like a tree. The tree doesn't move. Looks at the tree, doesn't look at what he's doing. Doesn't look at what he's doing. By looking at the tree, lo and behold, looks behind him, you got a straight furrow. This is true in any activity. You know a good guitarist from a bad guitarist. The good guitarist never looks at the guitar. The bad guitarist constantly looking at the strings. What am I supposed to do? Where's the next chord? Same with a pianist. They don't generally look at the keyboard, especially not Stevie Wonder or Ray Charles. They never looked at the keyboard. You're always just looking out. See, you're looking out. Dancers, they don't look at their feet. Hell no, if a dancer's looking at his or her feet, that's not a good dancer. If somebody who is wanting to obtain the wreath, the incorruptible prize of the high calling, they're not looking at their bodies, they're controlling their eye, they're disciplining their minds, and they're focusing on Christ. And this is what Paul's doing. This is how he is controlling his body, by striking it under the eye. It's a metaphor. Of course, he doesn't hit himself in the eye literally. Don't anybody go out hitting yourself in the eye literally. It's a metaphor, obviously. Obviously. I got one more follow-up verse for you here, and it's 2 Peter 2:20. This is a good one. Goes right along with it. Peter says, he talks about fleeing the defilements of the world. How do you do that? He says, for if while fleeing the defilements of the world by the recognition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So those who want to flee the defilements of the world, they don't do it by fleeing the defilements of the world. That would be the law of Moses. That would be Christianity. They do it by a recognition of our Lord and Savior. Here he is again. This is a transadministrational truth that's showing up here in the gospel of the circumcision. Also, Paul is heralding it big time. If while fleeing from the defilements of the world by the recognition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's how you do it. You do it by recognizing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's one of the rare times, though, it is rare in the circumcision, where they talk about realization, recognition, realizing something that is already there, the truth. And so as we do this, as we occupy ourselves, as I've been saying, then this good thing will happen. And I didn't even explain why the title, The Chicken. I'll end with this, of course. I've been talking about this. I just realized that I didn't explain the title here. It's The Chicken with the Head Cut Off. Yeah, I lived on a farm, but I never cut any chicken's head off. No, I didn't have any live animals. What do you call it? Chicken stock? No, cow stock? Livestock? What? Isn't that cows? I don't know. We didn't have any chickens. I just rented an acre or 4 acres when I lived on this farm raising my kids. No, I didn't cut any chicken's head off, but it's a weird phenomenon. You chop off the head, and rumor has it, I've never seen it, never want to see it. The chicken keeps running around. The body of the chicken keeps running around. The analogy is Christ has dealt a death blow to sin. The old humanity has been crucified. Romans 6:6. But the body of sin has not yet been nullified. It's all there in Romans 6. Read it. Read it for yourself. I read it for you. I've been reading it for you for 27 years. See, it's the body of sin that's remaining. It's still, we still look in the mirror. We still see us doing bad things. But the lifeline has been severed. The spinal cord from the old humanity to us has been severed. We're a new creation in our minds now. We're still waiting for the body to be changed, but in the meantime, it's like a chicken with its head cut off running around. Instead of chasing that thing, instead of trying to, you know, beat it with a boxing gloves, just look toward Christ. Yes, look toward Christ. Keep a single eye, belabor your body, strike it under the eye, and by a recognition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you will by natural reaction, flee the defilements of the world. I tell you, it's a freaking miracle.